risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Yes, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, oh, He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. Just surrender all to Him. Oh, He is Lord. For He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Hallelujah, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see our King.
Dying there, no more sorrow. Be in that presence of eternal life forevermore. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and receive our tithes and offering? Amen. Let's all stand as we sing this chorus. Brother Donnie can prepare to come for responsive reading this morning. Let's sing that chorus. We're together again. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'll tell you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there's where His people are gathered together. Yes, in Kiev after. Just create that atmosphere that He can come in and meet every need and to speak to every heart. Amen. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Oh, something good this morning, we're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. In one accord. Oh, something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together.
Thing to be able to praise the Lord. Greatest thing is to be able to read His Word. And let's get to it this morning. It's good to see everybody here. We're going to be reading from Exodus 23, 20 through 30. And before we read the Word, let's just go to the author and thank Him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this place. You've given us to come and gather around Your Word, Lord Jesus. Forgive us of our sins, Father God, and just touch and bless all those that couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever the hindrances, Lord, You know what it is. Father, bless the word that's coming forth this morning with Brother Dale, and be with him and bless him and lift him up, and just bless Brother Wade where he's at, and be with him today, Father, and just keep him safe. And Father, we ask You just to bless our afternoon service today and be with us now as we go to Your word, Father. Touch and bless all those, Father, that especially today You just speak to our hearts with Your word and send Your word and reveal it to us, Lord. More than anything, we need to be strengthened by Your word. And we ask these things in Your name. And You have Your way with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Behold, I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee unto the place which I have prepared.
Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him.
But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break them down their images.
And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and ye shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive them out, the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites, from before thee.
I will not drive them out from before thee in one year,
lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against us.
By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou hast increased and inherit the land. Amen. Bless the reading of the word. You may be seated.
Amen. What a promise to just hearken unto his voice. It's always a blessing when you hear his voice and obey it, but it's a curse unto you if you disobey it and you turn it away. We want the blessing of God this morning. We want to hear what he has for us this morning. Let's sing that chorus, You Are My All in All, in the key of F. Key of F, You Are My All in All. Amen. Is he your all in all this morning? We come to surrender to him and just give him more preeminence in our lives. Amen.
Jesus, O Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
sing that to him once more. Oh, Jesus, oh, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, I want the Holy Ghost to rule. You are my all in all. Oh, I'm singing my sins. You're taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. See, you're all in all this morning. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God. Sing that first verse again. And you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. And you are my all in all. I'm seeking you as a precious jewel. I want the Holy Ghost to rule. You are my all. Is it your desire this morning? Oh, just lift your hands and worship Him. Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of you this morning, Father, just to surrender all of our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Is your name singing, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Let's sing that second verse. Oh, you're taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. And when I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is He's worthy this morning. Amen. Yes, Jesus.
Sing it to him. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name.
Praising this morning. Hallelujah. He's a worthy lamb in our midst. Amen. Let's do something we haven't done in a while. Let's turn to each other, shake one each other's hands, greet them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, welcome them into the house of the Lord. So good to see everyone back in the sanctuary and smiling faces. It's all because he's worthy. Amen. We give him all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart this morning as our brother comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Oh, we want to see more of him this morning. Yes, I want to see him. Of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your
in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 20, and then we'll go to Romans 14. Good to have our visitors with us, and we always say here, when you come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you're just part of us. So we don't have anything to join. We don't have anything to build up or make up. We're just part of the body of Christ, and we just say to you, welcome. And glad to see you back. Good to see Brother Durrett there with his, getting his back straightened out and everything. It's good to see that. Good to have Brother Daniel and his wife with us and the family and all. Glad to have them with us, and we just pray that the Lord would bless. Wade's over preaching for Brother Pageant today, and then this afternoon Brother Bob will be taking the evening service in Wade's place. So we pray that the Lord would bless. All right. Then this coming Wednesday, now will be Brother Daniel Martinez will be ministering the word of the Lord unto us for the Wednesday night service. So let's see. I had to write myself a note because I'm 81. You know, I've got an excuse. Me and Reagan, we can do anything we want to, you know, because we got excuses and all. But, you know, it's good to see everybody. If you'd like to just follow along the reading, Revelations 20, and then we'll go to Romans 14 and try to pick up a thought and just continue from where we were this past Sunday. Pray that the Lord would bless. Any other things, any announcements? We always miss them. There will be. Terrence has announced these others. But we're going to have, and we're going to just casually announce it, and, you know. But we want to start announcing, you know, pretty quick, pretty heavy on the basis of having our 50th anniversary of the church, because this coming 4th of July will be 50 years that we have been in service in this church. And I pray and hope that it doesn't end up the way that it did. We're going to have the services at another place. Because if you remember what happened here when we had the first service 50 years ago, there was five vehicles parked out front, and a man came down the road running real fast, and he just took a little part of each one and kind of demolished a couple of them and all. So we pray and hope that that won't be, so we're going to have it somewhere else. Not for that reason, but it'll be announced later and all to where you would understand, okay? Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for everything, and we pray that you would just guide each one of us in your love. Let your light shine into our hearts and lives that we may see you and to walk in the light of your grace. Father, just be with each one. Remember Wade there as he's ministering for Brother Pageant, and Lord, and just bless each one. And just let your light come forth and show us, Lord, the things to say to your people. We love you, and we thank you. We just praise your great name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we pray. Amen. Yeah. If you'd like to follow in the reading of Revelations 20, we'll start verse 7. Now, the reason I'm reading this, I want you to realize when this will take place. The time frames is what I'm wanting you to get, because the time frames will help us to understand what is taking place. See, all right? See, you say, well, this year take place here. Well, that might have taken place over in the Old Testament. There's a time frame for different things. And that's what I want you to follow is the time frame. And then you'll know, and you won't be wondering, well, when does this happen? Because you'll have the lineup that says, well, somebody says it's over here, but it can't be there. Because there's a time frame laid there that shows it to what it will be. So listen to the time frame now. And when the 1,000 years are expired, okay, now this is after the millennium. This is coming forth 1,000 years, a millennial reign, all right? Satan shall be loose out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a white throne, a great white throne, and him that sat on the throne, whose face the earth and this heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, now plural. So you have the book of life will be present at this judgment, but you also have books, which books is actually the books of the sinners, which is a record of life in mankind. There will be books there that will be a record of what is doing of the people upon the earth. All right. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We'll pick up our scripture as we were using it last week. And so do you understand what I'm doing? In other words, that way to me, I can understand the Bible. If I can find a time frame, a position, a situation, and I know then that way, I know that I'm lined up in the scriptures. And see, then we read where when the 1,000 years has expired, so this is after the 1,000 year. So we know the 1,000 years in the millennial reign, which is born again believers. We believe in the millennial reign that is to come one day of 1,000 years upon earth to God to rule and reign upon this earth. And we are to be there with him in that ruling and reigning and times. And even the Bible speaks that we're to joy in the fact that even that we will be able to one day judge angels. The Bible speaks of the people of God or someone that will judge angels, or even judge the people and things like that. And there is those judgments set there. All right. But now this judgment here is the same judgment of Daniel 7, 9 through 10, which brings up and shows the judgment or the white throne judgment, as we are to basically use it in our terminology in Christianity, that there is coming a time when there will be a white throne judgment. There will be a judgment set for mankind, and that judgment will be there to determine, and at the white throne judgment, it will be the determining of whether or not you can enter into eternal life. Because, see, the book is there, which is the Lamb's book of life, or the book of life is just called here. All right, that book will be there. And if your name is not written, as we read, in that book, then you're going to be cast out. All right, so there's going to be a book there. There's going to be books, which is the books of the sinners, or in other words, the life of mankind, books, records, not necessarily having to have, I hope you understand my point. It's not necessarily that there has to be these books, and they turn the page. Okay, we see here so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and we turn another page. Remember, we're in a computer age when you can go, and 1,000 people could appear across a screen as to be judged and different things like that. But just to think about the things that will take place, all right? But what we were talking about last Sunday in getting to that point, that we see this white throne judgment, all right? And that white throne judgment, as we've read here and shown, then it will be determining whether or not some people will be given eternal life. Because there is an opportunity after this world of receiving eternal life, but it's not in the basis of, I'm not throwing off on anybody, not in the basis of Catholicism, of how good you are for this or that or the other, or what you've done or didn't do. That way, it's a judgment that will be set one day, because there will be a white throne, and God will sit on that throne according to the book of Daniel, and there'll be people sitting on that throne with him. All right, now that's what's so marvelous, is to find out that those people sitting on that throne with him are special people that are not having to be judged at a white throne, because their judgment is already set here. If you receive eternal life here, you do not have to go to the white throne judgment. That is a marvelous situation or a point of interest, and should be to each one of us a joy to think about it. That, hey, if we get born again, saved, born again, whatever you're calling it, your new birth, your things, whatever you're calling your salvation, when we get to that, to where that you receive that eternal life here, you don't have to go to a white throne. You will actually be sitting on the throne with him to judge others, even to judge angels, the Bible says. See, because there's going to have to be a judgment set of those things. But what about a group of people that will be able to, we bypass death, we bypass all of the things, and sit on the white throne, or sit on the throne with him, not standing before him. There's thousands standing before him, as we read there and read the book of Daniel and all, and you'll see a great multitude of people, because all the dead will have to be raised up, see, and brought to that white throne judgment. And when it does, then thousands of thousands will stand before him to be judged, but also thousands of thousands, it said, will sit on the throne with him. And that is what we call the bride. All right? What we call the bride of Christ. You can term it as the wife of Daniel, of Revelation, where it says, and the wife hath made herself ready. You can use the word wife. You can use the word bride, because it is the born-again believer is what you're talking about. All right? And see, if we receive eternal life here, we don't have to go to a judgment. There's nothing to be judged for. I kind of like the way the prophet said it one day like this. You married your wife, but before you marry your wife, you're going to put her through a test to see whether she's worthy for you to, you know, for you to marry her or not. Now, wouldn't that be something? There'd probably be very few weddings, because there's just, the women would back out, you know, and I wouldn't blame them, because if I don't look at my wife to see what she was, I look at her to see what she is. All right. She is a Christian. All right. Being a Christian, then we put it to the basis of whether or not whether she was worthy to be my wife. It was the choice I had of making that to where that I could accept her as my wife. And see, that's what he's done for you and I. You just think about it one day that you'll be able to just walk through those gates and just everything's open and you can go into the future home that comes present right after this. But that's my point of Britain. See, millennium. In other words, here we are right now. I'll give you a fast run through. Here we are right now. We're in the time of the last days, the ending up of all things. The next thing is the message going to Israel. All right? And it will be then a millennial reign of 1,000 years upon the earth to really to prove that the sin curse is gone from the earth. That's what I like. The reason for having a millennial reign is to show that all sin is gone in that point of view, and you and I can rule and reign for 1,000 years. Then there will be a white throne judgment, but not for us to stand, but it'll be for the world, or the sinner, or the person of the world, you know, that will be there. And if they've been good to you, maybe they could get a little bit, because that's what Jesus was speaking of in his doings, you know, of giving us a place of showing what it is so important to be the born-again believer or the bride of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to those places. We don't have to have that. We don't have to be judged. We're already judged. We judge the point that by accepting Jesus Christ. And it's not whether or not we're worthy. That's not the judgments of anything. It's whether or not he's worthy. Well, you say, well, I know he's worthy. Well, all right then. If I know he's worthy, then he hath made me worthy. It's not what I am. It's what he's made me. He gave me the opportunity to become his bride. And see, then that way we will be into that basis of ruling and reigning with him. All right. Now, but there's also in the Bible another time spoken of that we tried to cover, you know, in the doing it. So go ahead, brothers, and pull that one up into Romans. Oh, we read that to start with, but we want to read it again. But look what it says now. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All right? Now, all is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But I just spent 15 minutes explaining, according to the Bible and what we are to be, that we do not have to sit on any throne. We don't have to stand before the white throne judgment. So there must be something in our understanding that we need to know that there is a white throne judgment, yes. And that's where the sinner goes, and that's where those things happen. But we'll be sitting on the throne with him judging the others. And then now we're talking about another judgment that is in the Bible. And this is the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment. It's the judgment seat of Christ. All right? Then look what it says. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Well, now look what we're supposed to do. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, we don't want to harm or to hurt or to destroy or whatever the brother or sister that would be called in the Bible of a weak faith or whatever is doing it. We don't want to do that. But do you see what I'm talking about now? You have a great white throne judgment. Don't miss that. Because by being born again, you do miss that. You miss the point of having to sit there. Stand there to be judged. All right? But see, then you come to this, that there's a judgment here of the deeds, as we'll read in a little bit, done in the body, whether good or bad. And we're going to be judged accordingly. Now remember my point that I've tried to emphasize about this. If it's a judgment seat of Christ, it will be a judgment of rewards or losing rewards. That's what we've got to deal with. You say losing reward? No, no, not losing eternal life now. No, no, don't get no idea in your mind like that. No, no, no point. You can't lose eternal life. God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give it to you and take it away. If he gives you eternal life, you have eternal life. You don't have to worry about that point. You're not going to be judged whether or not to receive eternal life because you're not going to sit before the white throne. You're going to sit on the throne with him. All right. So then when coming to it, then what is this judgment seat of Christ? What is this position that we have there? That it says we shall all stand before that judgment. All right. We read that one in Romans. So I'll go ahead and pick up number 3, which is taken from 2 Corinthians. And we'll read that one. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I mean, I just read to you where it comes from Romans. Now, here's you two times, so in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established, right? All right. So now, what are we doing? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. Now keep that in mind. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So right now, we've taken out of the picture totally of the white throne judgment. Because that cannot be there to a Christian. That is annihilated out of the situation and not even to be thought of. Then you can't say, well, I read over here where this happened. I read over here where this happened. All right, read all you want to. You're just reading yourself out of the will of God because he willed that we would have eternal life. What is the faith? It's eternal life living in us by the new birth. All right? See, then by doing that, then we come to a place that there'll be a situation of a judgment seat. All right, now let's settle this point. I like to do that. I like to say this, if A means A, then A don't mean B. Right? If A means A, then A is A. And you leave it alone. All right? So it's solved, settled. It's out of the picture of the white throne judgment. It's placed and put forth that there's no argument about it. Okay? Now, yeah, but I think, I don't care what you think, because you don't care what I think. There's nothing in this basis of what we think. It's in the basis of what God said. All right? See, then we leave it that way and let it be what he says about it. Okay? But he says here twice, we've read it in Romans and Corinthians, that there will be a judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be judged. But now, get the point now. This is not the white throne, so it has nothing to do with eternal life. It is not a situation of deciding whether you're going to heaven or not that is dealt with in Romans and Corinthians, because this is to the bride of Jesus Christ. Right? Now, that's what I like about the way the Bible is written. It'll say, to the saints. See? All right? When you're reading these things, then you read it there. And each one of the beginning chapters, read the Galatians and Romans and things, it'll say, to the saints. Well, who are the saints? We're not Catholicism. We're not dealing with nothing like that. Who are the saints? The born-again believer. To those that are in Christ Jesus. All right? So then to what you're writing, then who is it written to? Now, in Revelation, it's written to the whole world. Coming up from the book of Daniel, anybody can read it because it is not a situational pointing of as much of the people as it is what's taking place. Right? But when you come into the New Testament, and it'll say to the saints that are in Ephesus. Well, that's born-again believers. The Bible is not written. Now listen. The Bible is not written to the sinner. The only thing the Bible can do to a sinner is make the sinner realize they're a sinner. It can't save the sinner. It can't do anything for him because he has to accept that to be in his place and then let God come on the scene and work out the salvation of his own. But it's not the basis that we try to put this, that, or that. No, we put the word of God. Whatever the word says. All right? So then, in this, why would there be a judgment seat? Why would there be a judgment seat of Christ? All right? But we know for sure that it is not dealing with eternal life. So I annihilate that. That's what I like to do. Take that out of the way. You know, you can go argue all you want to what you think about that. When the Bible takes it out of the way, you put it out of the way. All right? See, then it's not what you say or I say. It's what he says. All right? No, then that's not our ideas and our thoughts. Okay. Now, so we see that there is two judgments evidently in the Bible because of the situation, as I said, the time frame. There is no time frame connected to the judgment seat of Christ except for one thing. If it would be the judgment seat of Christ, it would have to be after Christ came. You agree? It would be after Christ came that there would be a time set, that there would be a judgment seat of Christ. All right. But the book of Revelations can vary back to the Old Testament through to the New Testament, pick up all of the people of the world, bring them all into a judgment. But yet to the bride, there's no judgment. Why? Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he died in your place. He's not looking no more at what me and you do or anything. It's what he's done. All right. See, then being that, there's evidently two judgments. Okay? One, we know for a surety, the white throne. We know what takes place. All right? But we know also then that it's speaking of a judgment seat of Christ. We've received the time frame elements of thinking about it in the basis that the white throne will cover the whole world. Time frame, you know, all world. But the judgment seat of Christ will not be judging that away, because it's not a determining of whether or not you're going to heaven or not. It's a judgment of the deeds done in the body. Because Paul used the word, you know, I want to go body. See, it's what we do in the body that we're going to have to give an account for. But I see, now here's where we throw that line in there, but I throw back with you with one thing. See, we say, but now, Brother Dale, if I'm a born-again believer, you've got just got through telling me that I'm saved, that I can never be lost. I agree with all of that. I agree wholeheartedly with every bit of it. But I agree one thing that I've been all of my life. I don't believe in living like the devil and claiming to be a Christian. I believe if you live like the devil, you are the devil. That's just the best way of me saying it. I just don't play no games with nobody or nothing. If you live like the devil, it's just the devil. All right. But now we ought not blame the devil for everything. Come on, I've been preaching to you 50 years almost, and you know how many times I've said that. Let's don't blame the devil for everything. Well, the devil made me do it. No. It's my brother. He's a Methodist minister. He said, well, the devil made me do it, and said, God can't judge me for being evil. I said, he didn't make you evil. You made yourself evil. It is not what he made you. I said, you better be dealing with eternal life. All right. Now, so then what is it? Where would this judgment seat of Christ be? All right. If it's a judgment seat of Christ, it would be in the time of Christ. That should be sensible. That should be beyond any reproach of thought, that it is in a time frame element of the days of eternal life, which is now. The Old Testament was not the days of eternal life, because eternal life was not back there for them. Because Jesus Christ had not died. The Holy Ghost, the Bible said, had not been given, because Christ had not been crucified. All right. So there was no eternal life back there in the Old Testament in that basis of eternal life like it is today. See, that ended at Calvary and the judgments and things. And that's why there has to be a white throne judgment to take care of all of those people that are there. There's plenty of Jews. There's plenty of different groups. There's plenty of foolish virgins, as we call them. There's different sections of people that will have to be judged one of these days. But we're beyond that. We're in the days of grace. All right? And being in the days of grace, then we know that we're not to be in the days of disgrace. Then we're to be into the basis of where the Bible says that there'll be a judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. I keep saying it over and over because I don't want, see, I know this way. You say something one time, people get, they remember that about 2 minutes. You say it two times, they might remember it five. If you say it five times, they'll finally get to where that at least they'll remember it just a little bit. Then you know how I generally do it. I try to put a little something in there comical to go along with that point, because the comical point will make you remember what I've been talking about. Okay? That's the way that I try to get your attention. And to get it to where that I can say, look, this is it. It can't be this because of this. It can't be the white throne judgment. We can't stand there. What do you got to be judged about? But yet when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, then there is something about that. But remember, it's not a judgment as much as it is a reward or a lack of rewards, is my way of saying it. That's my point of looking at it. Because I can't see, in other words, you don't want to take a person that's born again, that's free from all sin, and then try to make them a sinner. No, you don't do that. You leave us to what we are. But you do realize one thing for sure. We're still human beings. That's why I spent so lengthy a time there with it, and I rewrote a lot of it to reuse it today. but where in Galatians 5, you know, that it speaks of the works of the flesh. But then it speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. The works of the flesh is adultery, sin, you know, lasciviousness, all kind of things that are taking place. That's works of the flesh. That's what this flesh does. And then where it inhabits a world of sinful things. But then fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, and desire, all like that. What is that? That's from the inside out, coming outward to be lived out into the flesh of mankind. What is within us? All right? And see, then it's doing, because I'm trying to get you to look at a point that you'd say, well, what kind of a judgment would that judgment be? It's not going to be a judgment. Now, I'm serious. I try to be as best as I can with you, and I hope you listen to me. I don't believe there's going to be a time set aside. I'm just serious. I don't believe there's going to be a set aside times and, you know, Zach, he's got to be judged. Now, you been a good boy? Well, yeah, I thought I was. Well, that's, you know, well, that's all right. But if you had done anything wrong, he said, no, you're getting silly because, no, I'm not silly. I'm getting to the point. See, what is sin? Okay. Sin is not drinking, gambling, smoking, running around with women. That's not sin. Wait a minute now. You're a funny preacher. No, I try to get you a point. Sin is unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. Sin is unbelief. It is not the things that you're doing. That's the works of the flesh. That's the things that this flesh gets caught up into. And according to Paul there in Galatians, he's emphatically stating, and remember that is to the church, that he's trying to tell the church that she's got problems. She's got works of the flesh. She's got things there that don't be it's not needed. But then he turns around in the same thing and shows how good it is because he deals with the fruits of the Spirit right in the same chapter. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness. All right. Now getting the point of where we're living and the hour that we're living. All right. Not a standing before judgment and me standing before Donnie and he standing, he looks at me and says, yeah, you done that. You don't have to tell me I done that. Cause when I get to there, there ain't gonna be nothing hid. It ain't gonna be him bringing up something that I tried to hide. Right? It's going to be everybody in the building knows all about each other. That's the best way of putting it, I guess. Right. You know, there ain't going to be no hiding this, that, or the other. But that's what you're funny. You say we're born again and that makes us pure. That's true. But the works of the flesh comes back and gets involved into it. Right. And the things we do in our life. The little small things. The little foxes. The Bible says it's what spoils the vine. It's not the big old fox that tears the whole vine down. It's the little old fox that nibbles at the roots. Just enough to make it to where it ain't going to be worth nothing. It'll die of its own. See, church, if we're a born-again Christian, why would we not want to stand in a position to be right? Well, I don't want to stand before. You're standing now.
Right. That's right.
Because I've got one quote that relates in an idea of where this judgment seat of Christ comes into view. But you know what? It's here.
Right.
I thought that the Bible said that. How is it? Judgment begins where? Where does the Bible say judgment begins? At the house of the Lord. In other words, in the pulpit to the janitor, to all the pews and all in between. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Right. Now, is that true then that the Bible says some man's sins go before him? I've got these written here if you need them, so. Some men's sins go before them, and some follow after. You know that everything I ask God to forgive me, and I'm really sincere in the basis of that. Now, I put that in there because that's the point. You say, I asked God, but was you sincere? Like I said, how do we wind up doing? We wind up, and I do something to Zach. You know how I did illustrate? I do something to Zach. Well, I need to go make that right. Because that's my brother. And if that's my brother, that's Christ living there. Huh? But you know what? I won't do it. I just kind of, after a while I mull it around. I know I'm a funny preacher, but this is the way I preach because this is the way I live. After a while, you know what? I begin to think that he was the problem, not me. You know. And you know, give me a couple of weeks and you know what? I'm telling him or saying he owes me an apology. You understand? See, we let these little things slide by and after a while they get where they don't hurt too much. Right? Well, I know we was driving down the road today and that guy pushed me on and I got mad. Well, where's that for a Christian? Get out of the way. It's the best thing. And certainly don't chase him down. That wouldn't even fit no Christianity. You ain't got no pages to put that in the book, okay? Leave him alone. Wave bye to him. Say, bless you, brother. Said, the way it's working right now, I can pray for you. But don't try it the second time, I might not do it. Because I'm human. Oh, but I don't have no problems. Why? I know I told Donnie off this morning, but he knows I love him. You understand? Works of the flesh. I ask you to read that. I ask you to read Galatians 5. I don't ask how many did it. I ask you to read Galatians 5. You said, but Brother Dale, I'm no murderer. It says I'm a murderer. I'm not a murderer. The Bible says if you use your mouth and you condemn a brother, you murdered him. You might ought to read them. Take the dictionary and look up what these words are. You might find out you got a few of them. Or is that the way we want it? We don't want to find out we got a few of them. Oh, no. I've been a good Christian. I've never had a wrong thought or anything like that. No, but you just lied. Well, that solves that part. Come on, you're human. Can I quote the Bible? Is it not true that in the Bible that said that Jesus got angry? Now, let's correct that and get it straight, okay? It didn't say he got mad. Now, go look up the word. It didn't say Jesus got mad. The prophet didn't say Jesus got mad. He said Jesus got angry when he cast them out of the temple. Now, he didn't walk over there, I wish y'all would leave. You know, You know, I got this little old whip thing here, but I ain't gonna. Would y'all mind just leaving the temple and letting us? No. Not mad. There's a difference in mad, because mad is crazy.
Right.
Okay? Look it up. Mad, the word mad is literally crazy. But when you get to the point that you've got problems bothering you and you're upset, that's not crazy. That's just a point of a human being. Well, I don't owe Tony no apology. Well, he knows my heart. He's been around here a long time. He ought to know me a little bit by now. That's the problem. He does know. He knows I'm human. I've never tried to make anything to my grandkids or grandkids or whatever, or great grandkids, tried to make them think that I was something different than a human being. See? I don't have to go out and just deliberately do things, but they know. But they know one thing for sure, they know Papa loves them. We had Zach here, he'd tell you, he's the only grandson that I spanked. Boy, I wore him out. He'll tell you in a hurry that I beat him to death. You know, it was child abuse. Sure was. I went and get off that ladder and get in the house and quit fooling with me. Because I was trying to put up some vinyl. And every time I'd go up one ladder, he'd go up the other ladder. And when he'd come, I'd get him off that ladder and I'd go up that ladder and he'd go up this ladder. You know how old he was? 3 or 4. Yeah, somewhere in that. But he thinks that I was a mean old guy. But he knows I love him. Right? He knows I love him. My kids don't have to question and say, Daddy, do you love me? No, isn't that something? No. Your kids know a whole lot more about you than you think. Right? Why are you smiling about only? I'm getting grins out of the kids, okay? They're true. Hey, I don't try to be anything but what I am. I've never been nothing but what I am. Pastor or whatever. You don't see me trying to build up anything to make it something that I'm not. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. You want to talk a little while? Well, see, that's what people don't like about me, because they know that I'll put it on tape. You want to talk about the time that Brother Branham sat in the doorway of a motel with a pistol in his lap because someone had made a remark about his daughter? Well, you don't know what is true. I've been told. See, Brother Branham was a human. That's what caught me. You know what caught me in the Bible and the terminologies of it, or the thoughts of it in the beginning? Before I ever heard of the message or anything. I thought about a man called Abraham. And all of the things that happened. The good and the bad. And giving his wife away a couple of times. Right? Good and bad. What if it is that we're not going to be judged to where there's going to be a class put over here? Okay, y'all go over in that group now because y'all fit in that sin group. But these over here don't fit in that. They get an extra. That's why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. While we're here in the period of time of what's called the stature of a perfect man, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, our thought in the day and the time that we're talking about the adoptions that's mentioned in the Bible and brought through of how that Paul covers that, how that a child is no different. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Could that be, this is where we're at now? Could it be that we're in a situation now, an existence of the basis of whether or not we're not made, it's not being made in here today of deciding of going to heaven or not? But is our life living like Christ? Who never got mad. And we call it righteous indignation, but that don't work too much in that. He drove them out of the temple. Oh, I heard a brother trying to explain that one time. He said he drove the animals out. He didn't drive the people. I said, well, now, brother, only problem I got is the animals didn't get there by themselves. The people got the animals there. So if he was going to whip anybody, he was going to whip the people because they were the one who put the animals in the wrong place. Right? See, little things. Little thoughts. Well, my wife knows I love her. I told her 40 years ago. And I told her one day if I ever got where I didn't love her, I'd tell her. No. I like to hear the word, I love you. That's why I made a promise to God, you can do what you want to. We have signs. I know what signs are. I know why you pull this one down and leave the two up and what they mean. But I know what that means. That is a universal sign around the world that says, I love you. Now you're going to tell me it's wrong for me to hold that up? I'm going to tell you the background was of one thing, that I promised God that every time I'd raise my hands, I would give him the sign of I love you. You say, well, that's because of the... No, I know that means in Satan. You going to take a sign language around the world and make it Satan? No, there's a sign language that says I love you. Have you ever told him you love him? I mean, really just said, Lord, I love you. I'm serious. It's good to repent. It's good to repent and say, I'm sorry. But, you know, sometimes a little word going on the end of it, you know, to somebody, and you say, well, I'm sorry the way I've been, and I love you, and I just don't want to. Does it hurt to say that? Well, I ain't going to tell nobody to love them. That's what gets me waiting on. If he's here, he'd tell you about it in a hurry. I used to do it. Man, I used to go to these meetings and things, and I know how the people of this message are. They're so holy and pious, you know. Man, I'd walk right up to anybody. I didn't care who he was. I hugged his neck and told him I loved him. Well, he told me one day, he said, Daddy, they think there's something wrong with you. I said, there is. I love them. Right? See? I do. I love people. Well, there's no problem to me to hug somebody's neck and say, I love you. We get on the other side, we can hug their sisters. I got some guys that's waiting now in line where they can hug my wife when we get on the other side. Because they think she's a good wife, a good housekeeper, a good this, that, or the other, doing it, and I do too. See? But you see, what is those big things? It's not the big things that's destroying you and I. It's the little things that we don't count as being. Well, I told you that I love you. Well, does it hurt to say I love you? Does it hurt to be a Christian in action? You know, to try to show Christ to others? You know one thing for sure, your kids going to act like you. You ever watched them? You watch them. You watch them kids. If you don't watch them, you just watch them. And you'll start walking down the road one day and you got a certain little flitch on you, you know, and you just watch that grandkid coming along behind you, and there he's coming behind you. He's going, "Why? 'Cause he's acting like Papa." See? All right? It's the little things that we leave undone is what I'm getting at. It's not a great big, I don't think, now I'm serious, you can think what you want to, I don't think there's going to be a building sitting there, and we get to a place, because you tell me where it's at. That's the reason I said, I've studied the message, so come on, you show me where that place is at, where the judgment seat of Christ takes place. I've looked through the prophet's message, it's only like 300 and something times he mentions that. But you see, why can't we think about it being right now? I don't want no trouble at the river, do you? Let's see if I can find that one in a hurry. Yeah. Well, get my own notes messed up, can't even find it. If they can pull up number 10. Pull up number 10 if you can, brothers, because we won't spend much time. We'll get rid of, get to going. I'll start reading. They'll catch up with me. Okay. And I appreciate many of you people are poorer people than tonight. You probably maybe put in the last nickel you had. And that great day when we stand, now he's talking about taking people to missionary funds and things that he's taking the money from the people and taking the mission, you know, one going to the mission. All right. And on that great day when we stand up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and there's going to be a place, to stand or whatever. And you hear those heathens screaming after you hear my name called, and God got to come up and stand on the tape. Recording will be played, and the screen will show it all. And some of those natives and heathens from the other countries saying, "Oh, Brother Branham, if you hadn't come, I'd have been lost." And then God will look down to you and say, "You were the ones that sent him." All right? See how he's putting it all together? If there's any blessing to be out of it, may you receive it, because I'm just doing as a duty. Okay, watch now. Jump down. I'll be glad to have prayer with you at any time. You pray with me. We meet again is, now watch him. May we meet again is my prayer. Somewhere this side of the river of life. Now, where is this judgment seat of Christ? It's going to be somewhere on this side of the river of life. Are you read? And have a good old-fashioned meeting. You know, there's going to be a after the resurrection, about 30, 40 days that the saints are going to be among us before the rapture fully takes place. Where's it going to be? And have a good old-fashioned meeting again here in America before we cross the waters. I mean, that last water. I mean the last water. It's going to be on this side of the river of life. Now we as Christians, as terminologies of people and their words, You may be a little different, but you know what I'm talking about. On the other side of the river. I don't want no trouble when it comes down to the river. I don't want this or that or the other. I want to be make everything right here before we get down to the river. You know, I don't want nothing to have to be judged. Well, see, that's a good place to be. And see, that's right now. I believe right now is the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord, which is right behind the pulpit, and go out from there. All right. Not bad things. I don't know of ever, I've known Tony probably what, 15, 20, 30 years, something like that. Man, we've been around together a long time. I don't know of one thing that I could ever think of that I ever thought, well, Tony don't love me. Now that's where you're different than me. And I'm not meaning against Tony because Tony sometimes swells up a little bit. He may not act like he loves you. I'm not, but see, I know he does. I know he'd do anything I ask him. We'd talk about him and kind of laugh about him because he was just kind of quiet. We got some videos because even his wife didn't know what he could cook. Nobody didn't know all of these things could be done. When we was up on the mountain camping out with all of the kids of the church, you know, the boys and things, and here's Tony all at once. He's grabbing pots and pans and he's cooking. And everybody's looking around. Nobody's saying nothing. There ain't nobody hindering him and telling him to stop. They're just standing back off and saying, hey, look at Tony. He's cooking. Well, you know, we found out he could cook. Now what to do? Hey, Tony! You understand? You don't have to show me all of these great big things of the world or give me everything in the world to be a part of a body of Christ or whatever. As pastor, you don't have to give me a this. You don't have to make it every other week that we do these things, you know, or something. Why? Because I'm just what I am. I'm just what I am and what I've always been. I've always just been the basis that I love people. And I want them to love me. You know, Sister Barbara back there, she had a dream one time and said, she saw me walking around and said, one time I'd have one on my shoulder. Said, I'd set it down. I'm just talking about you. Okay. Said, the next time I'd have a different person sitting on my shoulder walking around carrying them. She said, that's the way you do. Well, that's the way I want to do. I'm trying my best to break it down to one thing. Listen, it's not the big sins that's the problems with all of us. If it is, we have ways of dealing. We call people up in the front of the church. They either repent of this or get out. Why? Because we don't want the world to have the idea that we're just sinners and just living and doing everything in the book. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Paul got so upset there where he said, one man, you know, living with a man's father's wife, in other words, his stepmother or stepwife or whatever, he tore into him. But you know what? If that man straightened up, Paul didn't throw him out. Because Paul knew. He was the guy that knew. That's what I've tried to tell you. For me to read the Bible is easy because I've always just read it and studied it and read it. And even when I was, a Baptist and just coming to the Lord and things, and I'd read that and I'd get over there where it says, and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so. And while I get so tired of saying so-and-so was so, I just quit. You know. But you know what happened one day? I began to look over there and it said, and so-and-so begot so-and-so and I'm just paraphrasing. And David said, I love you, Lord. You know, there's something right in there. You know what I'm talking about. It'll just be right in the scripture readings of you reading it, of the so-and-so begot so-and-so. And all at once, it just brings Christ right into view. And I've always had trouble reading. I don't mean trouble. I mean, I'd rather read somewhere else than read 1 Corinthians. And especially 2 Corinthians. Not that I had any problems. The problem was, I found out later Paul was talking to me about me. Because that's what Paul is doing. The Corinthians means literally what it is. It means the word of correction. Corinthians means correction. And see, that's what Paul was constantly after them. Right? That he had to get on to them about the gifts. He had to get on to them about all kind of things. He had constantly stayed after the Corinthians because they wouldn't line up. It was the little things that they were just passing on by. I'm thinking, well, bless God, we got it made. We're ready for the rapture. It's what's so odd to me. You talk to people and say, well, Brother Dale, I'm just afraid to go to church because that virus might catch us or something. But I'm ready for the rapture. I'm ready, Lord, anytime the Lord wants to come. Where's he going to come? Is he going to have to come to your house? But we're Christians. Yep, the little bitty thing. They constantly keep putting us down. I'm just talking about me. Because we're all just human beings. We're in that group that Paul calls the Galatians the works of the flesh. Now remember, he's talking about Christians and says they have works of the flesh. That's why I said it's hard sometimes to read to what he's saying, because he calls it adultery. First thing he says on the works of the flesh. Well, you don't ever think like this. Adultery. Well, there ain't nobody out here in the building committing adultery. What about your looking and your lust and your things of your eyes? What about uncleanliness being the same as lasciviousness, which is lust? Well, Brother Dale, I don't have no problem with lust. Little small things. Idolatry. Idolatry. You say, well, we don't have no idolatry. We're not worshiping idols. Webster says the worship of other gods. What if you're Trinitarian? That's another God. Because there's just one true and living God. Little things. What about hatred? Oh, I don't hate nobody. Could it be just a little bit of enmity? Variance. Could it be strife or contentious? Emulations. Strife. Just being contention. Heresies. Just being of a sect. Murderers. You hate your brother without a cause. You're a murderer. That's breaking down the Bible to smaller words that we human beings can comprehend. Do you get it? Oh, no, we're not. Ain't nobody in the building here murdered anybody. One word uttered could be murder. Now, you don't think we're going to have to give an account? You don't think we're going to have anything one of these days that there could be a judgment seat? I'm trying to get you to see that's the problem. When we think we don't have it, that's where we have it. Well, I don't have no problem. Right there's the problem. You're not admitting who you are and what you're doing. What was that message, Brother Luis is preaching about drunkenness and about being, how is it? Drunk on the spirit, drunk on the wine, drunk on the... It's not always just drinking. It's a lot of other things that could be. Just go home and take that and read it and see how simple the things could be that we have those things. Hate you, brother, without a cause, you're a murderer. See? What are we supposed to be? Waiting till one day that there's going to be a great big building, we're all going to have to line up in a building and walk down through there. No. Taking place right now. Because you see, if he takes away rewards, that's one thought. But what about lining up with the word in your adoption and your stature of a perfect man? What about lining up to where you get to these words? Oh, I don't have no problems with drinking. Patience, godliness, temperance. I don't have no temper. And Peter. Peter evidently thought we had him because he mentions it. But I just don't, you're not getting it, Brother Dale. We're not getting it right. I'll agree with you. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting to the basis of one thing. We're letting these little bitty things. Why do you think we're here now? When I can quote your prophet pretty heavily, where he would talk about the coming of the Lord was way overdue. Whose problem is it about the coming of the Lord? Well, time just hasn't run out. Now, don't start that. It ain't time. It's you and me. What about it? Come on, musician. What about it? The prophet of God, I'll show you, if you want 100... not 100, but close to 100, where he says we must all meet at the judgment seat of Christ. He said, I'll meet you there. We're all going to have to give an account for the little things that we didn't get straight. Now, watch it as I say it. Taken away is not involved in it because God doesn't give you something and take it away. I wish you'd listen to the next few moments. It's not that God gives you things and takes it away from you. He's not an Indian giver. He doesn't do those things. He'd rather give than to take away. What if it is the fact that the reason we're not climbing the stature of a perfect man through the virtues and the things like that, the adoptions that we talk about, of the doings and all of the child being tutored and trained and governed? What if it's not that he's taking away? What if it's the fact that we're not walking correctly, so we're the ones that are losing the reward? What if it is that we're giving it up? By our actions? By our doings? You see, church, that's why I don't preach like all these other preachers, and I'm sorry, it's just, I believe in a holy living. I believe in living for Christ. But you don't hear me preaching about women's dress and clothes and hair and doing all this. I talk about what's causing you to do that. What's causing you women to cut your hair? Yeah, but Brother Dale, you're not supposed to know. I can look at people's hair and tell whether or not you're cutting it. I've never understood that. I'm a human. Come on, comical human. I've never understood it, women. How you trim your hair, and yet you hide it to try to keep people from seeing it. But you know the reason they see it? You cut it straight across. What's that? Why? Why do you women cut your hair straight across? You're automatically telling it's being cut because hair don't grow straight across. Right? And see, you look at women and their hair is cut straight across. Well, my hair's never been touched. And I can talk to one here about that. They used to burn the ends of it just a little bit. You ever thought about that? Maybe burn the ends of the hair just a little bit. That's not cutting it. See, the little thing. The tempers and the arguments and the fussing of us husbands and wives. I said us. The little thing. You see, that's why I don't preach like that, because see, when I preach it straight. In other words, I can tell you, I can walk you women across the pier and tell you how many of you has cut your hair. Because you always cut it straight. Don't do that. Cut it crooked. Come on. What do you mean? Gap it up. It don't look like it's been cut. Brother Dale, you're crazy. I agree with you. But does it get the point across? The little things that we do or don't do. And it's not going to be, as I said, I'll say that one more time. I don't believe there's going to be a great big building. We're going to have to all line up, walk down through there. Did you do anything wrong? Did you do? I think it's right now. I think you and I are setting our stages now in the stature of a perfect man, in the adoptional message to things. It's taking place now. Now is the day of the hour of salvation. Let's stand together. What we got, brother?
Sing that chorus. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Anybody have a need? The altar is open. Remember, it's the little things. Father, we send these prayer calls for our brother Howe. We know that he's having a lot of trouble.
Father,
he's just a human being. You're there to take care of him and understand. So let us pray that by your stripes he's healed. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Constantly about her sister and about her brother there. We just ask you to help them. Come on the scene, Lord. And just bring forth the great things that we need. We need a healing virtue to flow among us. To heal and to take care of all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Hal's been falling a lot lately and things, and so remember him.
Father, I appreciate
Brother Hal, he's been falling down. It's just like me, that he's getting too old.
Oh, Heavenly Father,
so just pray.
I appreciate you.
Father, our brother's got a thought in his mind. He knows what he's talking about in his mind. We don't need to know the mind. We know the mind reader that can tell us all things and bring to pass that by your stripes the people are healed or whatever it had need of. It's in your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate
you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is our time.
Oh, I love you. I adore you. I bow down.
We're not talking about how long it's going to be, because we've never had no problem. It's not how long it's going to be, it's how long he can wait on you and me.
Just want to thank God.
And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort. Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, you lead me, you guide me.
You just be there with her and take care of everything, Lord. And you just bring her on out of these problems as a human being. Let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Heavenly Father, I appreciate
you. You love it.
And Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
I love you, adore you. I bow. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being out today, and we pray that what we've tried to preach was from our heart to love, to understand of us people. Lord, we know that as we'll get rid of these things here, we don't have to go there and answer at any judgment. But we just thank you that we don't have to go to that white throne. It's out of the situation. Other things may be involved, but not that. And we thank you. We cherish your great name. Go with us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together. Be with Brother Bob this afternoon. Be with Wade as he's finishing up there and coming back home. And let your loving grace be with him in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss.
There's a river of life.